We are often told that it's our individual responsibility to claim for better salaries and better wages, claim really that we are equally appreciated as the men around us. But I think the key element here in Iceland has been the cooperation and the solidarity of Icelandic women.
And that's Iceland Prime Minister Katrin Jakobsdóttir. This year, Iceland made history. It became the first country in the world to make it illegal for men to get paid more than women for doing the same job. This is the She Innovates podcast, and I'm your host, Michelle King. On our show, we share the challenges and triumphs of women in areas like innovation, technology, and entrepreneurship. Last week, Katja Busham, CEO and co-founder of Birchbox, and Anne Rosenberg, Senior Vice President and Global Head of SAP NextGen, shared with us their initiatives and experiences around the issue of equal pay. Today is part two of our series with another special guest, Iceland's Prime Minister, Katrin Jakobsdóttir. She's going to be talking with us today about Iceland's new pay equity law and what organizations can do to enforce equal pay standards. Hi, Katrin. We're so excited to have you here today. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you.
So look, I just wanted to get started by maybe getting you to share some background to the legislation. You know, what is the equal pay legislation? Why does Iceland need it? And, you know, how is it actually going to close the gender pay gap?
You know, actually, it has been the aim of Icelandic legislation since the early 60s that men and women should get equally paid for comparable jobs. And but we still have a gender pay gap, even though it has been diminishing in the last few years, and it's now around 4 to 5%. We still haven't really reached the place where we want to be. So this legislation was actually passed during the time of the last government in Iceland, and it will be my project to implement it. And hopefully we will see, just by using this really new tool, which is this equal pay standard, we will see increased transparency, which will create really more pressure on companies, institutions, both in the public and the private sector, to eradicate the gender pay gap. So even though things have been moving in the right direction, they have been moving maybe too slowly. And that's why this was actually decided to do this.
So, Katrin, you know, you've been given this legislation to implement. And that's quite a big challenge. Could you maybe share, you know, what you think this is going to look like in practice for organizations?
Well, what we're planning to do is we're planning to implement this before 2022, doing it first in the bigger companies and in the ministries, and then just slowly moving on. The legislation requires all companies with over 25 employees to complete a certification proving that they can pay men and women the same amount for the same type of work. And we will take, as I said, 4 years to implement the whole thing, and hopefully we will be there in 2022. So you could say really we are trying to accelerate this process of change. But it's, of course, difficult to do this maybe in very small companies. So this is the plan now.
So Katrin, I mean, just on that, you know, you guys are really accelerating the progress of change with this legislation. I get that. But for organizations who are sitting there who are a little nervous about the legislation, you know, what could they expect?
I think actually just implementing the equal pay standard is also just giving more room for discussion about the gender pay gap. So I think actually, hopefully, it will also inflict a change in culture. You can make political policies, but sometimes they don't affect the culture. But we have actually very good examples here in Iceland of political policies implementing the culture, not least when it comes to gender equality. You know, I might mention political policies concerning the daycare of young children, the paternal and maternal leave, which was quite progressive when that was actually passed in the Icelandic parliament and really changed the way that young fathers think about their role as fathers. So what we're hoping to see is that the equal pay standard won't only work as it should be, but also be a tool to really increase discussion and awareness of the gender pay gap.
So, Katrin, I mean, I really hope you guys achieve all of those outcomes. I think it's a really great piece of legislation. One of the criticisms, though, is that, you know, Iceland's a small country, so this is really only applicable to smaller countries. I mean, do you think there are things that other countries can learn from it? Could it be scaled to larger countries? Is there an option to do that?
Well, I think that's a good question. Hopefully, you know, bigger countries can learn something from our experiences, because what has been done is that we have actually a standard, the equal pay standard, which should be really easily applicable to bigger societies. So the methodology, you know, should be able to be used. Then we will have to see, you know, the bigger company, the employers union, they weren't too happy about it. They thought it was putting an increased pressure on the company, the increased cost, etc. Now they're working with us in this. So that is obviously something that I think all societies will encounter. And it's not only a matter about building a better society, but it has also, for Iceland, proven to be very good for the economy. So I think, yes, bigger countries might be able to learn something from our experiences.
So, Katrin, I know you know this, but I hate asking a question around the business case for gender equality. Having said that, though, I think there are a lot of economic benefits to this legislation. So could you maybe share some of your thoughts on, you know, what those benefits are?
Well, I agree that we shouldn't have to make the economic argument. But what we have seen is that gender equality has, of course, increased job participation of women. So it obviously has been a driving force when you look to the economic growth in Iceland, is the high job participation of both men and women. We have also seen experiences from companies stating that having both men and women, for example, in company boards has really changed the culture within the company, has actually diversified the discussion, changed really in their running of things. So I think the experience here from Iceland is that it has been mainly, it has actually made our labor market a better place to be.
For decades, Iceland has been at the forefront in the fight for gender equality. In 1975, about 90% of women in Iceland walked off their jobs to protest wage discrepancy. Since then, the world has watched Iceland continue to fight for progress to ensure a more equitable working world for women. In fact, the country has topped the World Economic Forum's Gender Equality Index for the past 9 years. So, Katrin, I mean, Iceland is consistently held up as the standard for gender equality. Why is this? I mean, why have you guys managed to top the Gender Equality Index for the last 9 years?
Well, of course, we're very proud that we are in the first place at the top of the gender gap with World Economic Forum. But, you know, I would also like to point out, for us women in Iceland, you're not there yet, if I may say so, for example, because this seems to be an ongoing issue no matter what. And I could, for example, mention the fact that in the last parliamentary election, actually, the number of women went down in the Icelandic parliament. So I don't think that gender equality is a goal that you will ever reach and just be able to sit back and relax. Now, the reason, however, I think it has gone pretty well in Iceland is that we have had radical people and radical organizations really driving the debate. For myself, you know, growing up as a kid in the 80s, I was born in 1976, things looked very differently back then. What really changed the discussion here in Iceland was when Vigdís Finnbogadóttir was the first lady to be elected as a democratically elected president in Iceland in 1980. She was a very important role model and encountered a very heavy discussion about being a single mother running for president. I would also like to mention the role of the All Women's Party, which entered the scene in the 1980s and really changed dramatically the role of women in Icelandic politics. So what we have seen is that we have seen through the last decade radical measures really being taken to achieve those goals. And also I would like to add is that Icelandic politicians have dared, often under the leadership of women, to do radical things in legislation. For example, we passed a law on gender quotas in company boards, which was very unpopular at the time in the year 2012. But has actually changed the composition of company boards, and now we're seeing more and more women.
So, Katrin, I mean, why do you think that gender equality is such a major area of focus for Iceland?
Well, it has changed very much in the last decade. You know, gender equality wasn't a mainstream issue in Icelandic politics. For example, when I entered Parliament in 2007, it has become much more mainstream simply by the increased participation of women in politics. You know, most politicians in Iceland today, for example, talk about gender equality. It has also become a very important factor in our foreign policy. All these initiatives, which maybe started out as radical initiatives from progressive, mainly women, they have actually somehow infiltrated society, so it has become a very much mainstream issue to talk about.
I agree, and you know, I really think a lot of these issues have become a lot more mainstream. I mean, how do you think things like Me Too and Time's Up have really affected this?
I think, of course, now, you know, we need to be mindful of the fact that the World Economic Forum Global Gender Index doesn't actually measure things like sexual harassment and sexual or gender-based violence. So I think that's also very important that the Me Too revolution really has changed that debate completely, not only around the world, but also in Iceland. And we have seen women in all sectors stepping forward and talk about their experiences, sharing their experiences. And what I'm seeing really, and it's really interesting because it's a little bit like paradigm shift really in the culture here in Iceland as elsewhere, is that you're seeing also boys and men really listening to these stories. So I really think we can talk about political policies and legislation, which are important, but culture is definitely the single most important factor.
So, Katrine, I mean, in the area of gender equality, what's next for Iceland? What's the next area of focus?
Well, I think for us right now, a very important issue has been the Me Too movement and how we are going to react to that, not only in the labor market, but also within NGOs and everywhere in all sectors of society. And what we're seeing is really that the government has already taken an initiative, really, when it comes to public institutions and really saying we need to really embrace this issue and move on. So this is maybe the next big thing in Iceland is that we're seeing all sectors really talking about this, the sports sector, the arts sector, etc., and talking about how we can actually change that culture for good. We're talking about the equal pay standards, which is a good thing, but that doesn't change really the fact that we have a gender-based labor market. That's one of the things that we've been talking about in Iceland. How can we actually have more gender equality within the different sectors of the labor market?
So, Katrine, I mean, a lot of people listening to this podcast know that towards the end, I always get the people who are being interviewed to share some advice of lessons that they've learned or practical things that our audience members can do to try and tackle some of these key issues. So with that in mind, could you share a little bit of advice on, you know, what women can do to ensure that they're being paid fairly and how they can maybe tackle this issue of the gender pay gap?
Well, what we are often told is that it's our individual responsibility to claim for better salaries and better wages, claim really that we are equally appreciated as the men around us. But I think the key element here in Iceland has been the cooperation and the solidarity of Icelandic women. And because I mentioned radical methods sometimes are needed, Icelandic women walked out of their working places in 1970. So they actually went on a women's strike. And later on, we have repeated that action just to remind society that the job participation of women is really important for the whole of society and for the economy. So I think really the solidarity of women is probably the most valuable tool to achieve more equality when it comes to the gender pay gap.
So, Katrine, just one last question before we close. You know, the advice you just gave is fantastic, but it's focused on the individual, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's your advice for organizations? So what can organizations do differently to ensure, you know, that they don't perpetuate the pay gap?
Transparency is needed if we are going to eradicate the gender pay gap. And the equal pay standard is a tool to increase that transparency. Because, you know, as everybody knows who has worked in a big workplace, sometimes men get more paid than women just by, for example, because they are receiving some sort of extra payment, transport funding or something that the women aren't. So more transparency, which is a very difficult cause to fight for. There are very strong forces that really like to keep the lid on this information. But the lack of transparency has proven very expensive for working women.
So that concludes our two-part series on equal pay. I really hope all of you had some great takeaways from our conversations. I hope you can take some of the practical advice that was given and apply it in your own careers. Thanks again for joining us, and please tune in again next week. We're going to be featuring Megan Kelly, host of the NBC show Megan Kelly Today. She's going to be joining us to talk about what's next for the Me Too movement. It's going to be a great episode, so make sure you don't miss it.
From the Human Group, She Innovates is a podcast created with support from SAP NextGen, an innovation platform that enables everyone, from individuals, companies, partners, and universities, to connect and innovate with purpose. In doing so, SAP NextGen supports the achievement of the Sustainable Development Goals.